Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Another sampling of some amazing local talent tonight as Bryn Lytle will be showcasing his brand of techno and progressive house shortly. But let's kick things off for this episode's track of the week. Spanish producer Cressy serves up a nice vocal number here. This is Release Your Mind. Okay, a great opening salvo there with Cressy's Release Your Mind. That's out now on Knee Deep in Sound, and that can be had anywhere you buy your tracks. On to the feature for tonight's episode. Bryn Lytle is making some great music and really honing his sound of late. Here he talks production, influences, and his latest track. Full track list and a selection of Bryn Lytle web links can be found at the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. Let's check out the first half of the interview. This is DJ Waugh, speaking of Vancouver-based DJ and producer Bryn Lytle, an artist who's been producing and DJing for over a decade. With releases on Armada, Black Hole Recordings, Euphonic, and UV Noir, his career is clearly trending in the right direction. He's gigged all over the world and worked alongside Ronsky Speed, Chris Giuliano, and Bethany Marie. He also has a guest mix on Above and Beyond's Group Therapy Radio Sessions to his credit. The Hear Horse remix for his track Luminescence drops on Friday, December the 2nd, so check that out. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Bryn Lytle, and kicking things off here, how would you currently define your sound, and would you say it's evolved or shifted over time?
Hey, well, great to talk to you, by the way. Love the intro. I would say my sound, it's definitely fluctuated through the years. I think like any artist, you start to find yourself and you change as a person. And as you change as a person, you know, that starts to reflect in the different sound palettes that you explore. I've definitely done that for sure, you know. Started off with a lot of really progressive sounds. And I'd say now I'm really intrigued by techno and working with rhythms and a bit of a less is more mentality when it comes to production. So that's been really exciting and also a challenge as well for me. So.
Mm-hmm. Can you think back to what your first or early exposure to electronic music was, and do you recall what impact that had on you?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I was in bands growing up. That was the main music I listened to, was indie rock, that kind of thing. And when I went to my first rave, I would say everything changed. I forget how old I was, probably like maybe 16 or 17. My friend was like, you have to come check out this rave. And I didn't know what a rave was, to be honest. I just thought, oh, it's like a party out in a forest somewhere. I didn't really know what to expect. I just thought it was going to be like any other sort of college type party that you would just wind up at. And sure enough, I turned out at a electronic rave, and I can't even remember who was playing, but I just remember the vibe. Everyone was dancing, the lights, the music. And from that day, I have to figure this out. Like, this is so, so cool. And I kind of went down the rabbit hole from there. You start with sort of the bigger names, because at that time, there wasn't that many people coming through Vancouver. So with that sound, so, you know, you start with the big names that you can get access to, like Tiësto and Armin van Buuren. And from there, I discovered Sasha, John Digweed. And then, you know, that just opened up a whole entire world. People with custom mixers and controllers and going on tour with all kinds of gear. And I realized, you know, you can do this without a band. You don't necessarily need a band. You can do this by yourself. And that was what propelled me to figure out how to do it on my own. And that was sort of the start of my journey, I guess.
Okay, and then once you got the bug and got really interested in this, can you recall any local DJs or clubs that really had an impact on you or an influence on you from the start?
That's a very easy question, because I would have to say right off the bat, Kevin Hsu. You know, actually, funny enough, I think I saw Kevin Hsu for the first time opening for either Sasha or John Digweed. And after that, whenever me and my friend at the time, because none of my friends were really into it. So I had one friend, and we would go together, and if we saw that Kevin was playing, we'd go. And it was the way he blended melodies really gracefully. It just was so inspiring. And there wasn't a whole lot of DJs that I knew of at the time that were doing anything similar. I'm sure there were, but I had a fairly limited understanding of the scene at that point, and I was just a huge fan. So I would say Kevin Hsu really was super inspiring, and yeah, we've actually become good friends over the years, which is really, really awesome. We'll be right back.
Okay, and then what was your early experience of actually trying to establish yourself in the industry as a DJ and a producer?
When you don't really know anything and you haven't ever really been exposed to a scene, you don't really know where to start. And that, I think most artists are probably starting from that standpoint, trying to figure out, how do I get into this? Where do I go from here? And at the time, I was sending songs that I was making to labels. Some people wouldn't respond. Some people would let me know that they liked the idea. And I just kept working at it. And I established a rapport with a few A&Rs, specifically at Go On Air Records, which is part of Black Hole Recordings. And I ended up sending them a track I did alongside my sister, Bethany Marie, which was one of my first sort of proper tracks that I was really proud of. And I sent that to them with the expectation I just wasn't going to hear back as usual. And I got an email back saying, hey, we love it. We're going to sign it. That was really sort of the start of realizing, hey, this is a viable career option. And that was sort of the first really big opportunity for me. And that song ended up getting remixed by this really prolific trance artist, Brian Carney, who gave it a remix and it ended up getting played in Argentina for a big Estate of Trance show. And it just kind of kicked everything off for me. That was, I guess, the first really impactful thing that propelled me into, motivated me to keep going, and realizing that, you know, if you just put the work in and dedication, you know, things will happen for you. You just have to keep trying, keep going for it.
Okay, let's look at production here. When you are making tracks, which DAW do you like to work with and why?
Well, you know, I started off in Ableton way back in the day, and I still really enjoy it for live performing. But over the years, I've come to really love Logic Pro. I kind of feel like with that DAW, I get the best of both worlds, because I do tracking and stuff in a studio environment, you know, as well as producing my own music. So I find it's nice to be able to just use one DAW for everything. And I feel like Logic's kind of the best of both worlds. You can use it for sort of live studio applications, and you can also use it for production. It's not as good for the stage, which is why I think Ableton really shines there. But for me, I've just gotten to know it really well, and it's like I know it like the back of my hand. So I just stick with it, you know?
Okay, and then within Logic, are you typically using their VSTs, or do you like to bring in a lot of external stuff, and do you possibly have your own hardware that you like to play with as well?
Honestly, you know, I've built up my sort of arsenal of VSTs that I love to use. I mean, I've got a project in front of me right now that I was just working on. I would say, you know, I love stuff by Sound Toys. App Filter is amazing. I mean, those are like EQ and dynamic plugins. But when it comes to synthesizers, I've got some hardware synths I use. You know, you can get some great sounds out of that. I also use a lot of soft synths as well, emulations. I try to stick with emulations of actual synths. You know, if I can figure that out, hopefully one day I can get the real thing. I can afford to blow all my money on modular gear. But yeah, I try to keep the sound palette as analog as possible. You know, I have been using Serum lately. I hadn't used it in the past, but it is really, really cool for sound design. So I've been using Serum a lot, Nephonium, Arteria, anything by them. Anything that sounds analog, I'm a fan of.
To the moon.
And when you are making a track, do you generally have an idea in your head of a sample or a melody or something that you're going to get working with? Or do you just like to sit down at your computer and see what direction that takes you?
It depends. Sometimes I'll just sit down at the piano and start playing, you know, say I pick G or F or some sort of key that I think is going to work well with dance music, and I'll just start playing more of a classical type piano piece and riffing, and I'll just record it, and then I'll look at kind of what I've played, because it usually is echoing the mood I'm in at the time, and I'll take the MIDI from that, and I'll sort of start to put that into different sounds and instruments and see if there's some patterns, and usually that kind of jump starts something, and I'll kind of hit a vein and just start following that along and see where it goes. You know, I've been trying lately to work about 5 hours at a time, and you know, if I'm not getting an idea kind of locked in within 5 hours, it's usually probably not going to work out.
Okay, we'll dive into DJing a little bit more later on, but when you are playing out live, are you incorporating a lot or mostly your own tracks into those sets, or do you bring a lot of other artists' tracks into your sets as well?
Well, you know, if you're playing at Gorgamish in particular, you know, when you're doing a 3-hour set there, you can't necessarily play all of your own music. So I do try to play lots of unreleased stuff, though. It's a great way to test it out. And that's been a new strategy for me just in the last few years, is instead of perfecting a track to the point where it's released, can be released, I just get it so it can be played out live. And that allows me to really test tracks, and you start to see very clearly, you know, what part of this track worked, what didn't work, if it worked at all. And it gives you such a great indication of what sort of avenue to keep following with the track and which parts to just let go.
Okay, once you play these tracks out live, do you like to bring a lot of them back to your studio and readjust them just so they're working a little bit better for you, or are you generally happy with the state that they're in?
Yeah, sometimes I'll just decide, you know, this may not be a Bryn Lytle release, but this is a really fun track to play out, and then I'll just put it in my originals folder. I just know it's going to work at, say, 5 a.m, but it's not necessarily something I would maybe have an official release on. And some other ones, I get super inspired to continue working on them and really polish them up so they're ready for a professional release.
Okay, several of your tracks have vocals in them, and you did sort of mention this a little bit earlier on, but how do you approach writing lyrics? Is it something you do collaboratively, individually, or something you put on the vocalist to do?
You know, I've never actually had anyone... Actually, that's not true. I've had one track that was written. I sent the lyrics to... I worked with Mike Schmid on a song. He did end up completely rewriting the lyrics, but he kept the same theme. So that song was not written by me. But other than that, I do write all of my lyrics myself. It's something I really enjoy doing, albeit it's quite challenging for me. But I do like writing lyrics, and it's been something that's been really helpful when I work with my sister. She performs the vocals and I write the lyrics and the melody.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
That was part one of the Bryn Lytle interview. The show is Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. Rights was the name of that final track, and Ocean's Calling gets the ball rolling in part two. Full track list and a selection of Bryn Lytle web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Let's check out more of what he has to say. Okay, let's move on over to DJing here. You mentioned earlier that you like to use Ableton or have used Ableton from time to time for live performances. Is that something you use for your DJ sets, or are you mostly using CDJs these days?
When I DJ, I'm pretty much strictly on Pioneer setup these days. Although in the past when I was working with like other artists, or, you know, I've worked with some other artists on their projects in different genres. And then if I'm helping them with their live show, I might be in the background using Ableton in that way. But for now, when I'm playing live shows, it's definitely DJing using Pioneer setup. It's just the most fun for me right now. I love it. It's so much fun. And I feel like you can just really play a whole bunch of tracks. Whereas when you have a live setup, you're definitely, it does limit you to more of like a show that you have to curate, which I can definitely say I would be into doing down the road. I have done it in the past, and I'd love to develop something like that for the future. But for right now, I'm really enjoying DJing.
Okay, when you're building your sets, do you have a blueprint in mind before you start mixing, or are you pretty good at reading the floor and just go with it that way?
You know, that really varies from show to show, because if you're playing a one-hour set and, you know, you're between two different artists, you kind of have an idea of, say, artist A's sound and artist B's sound, and you're in the middle, it's like, you know, I do like to give myself some leeway, so I'll have, say, 20 tracks. And I'll have a rough idea of sort of the order that they'll go in, but maybe one track might be a bit polarizing. Maybe one track might be a bit challenging as far as sound design, and it might ask a little bit. And so I just, you know, I'll kind of have them stacked in a way where I can just kind of bypass a track and move on to the next one. So I make sure I play all the tracks that I really wanted to play. And so that would be sort of a hybrid of reading the crowd, but also having some sort of outline of exactly what I want to say with the music. But if it's anything over an hour and a half, I like to just have a huge folder of tracks that I really like, break it into energies, genre, to kind of depend, and then just read the crowd from there.
Okay, in recent times, can you think of one or two events that you've played that have really stood out for you, and what is it that really made them pop?
I mean, I love every gig. I think playing alongside Ali and Sila a couple weeks ago was a lot of fun. We've been working on a project together for his melodic techno alias, Das Sparrow. So it was great to be able to share the stage with him and pass off the deck to a fellow artist and also a mentor, and that was really special. I think, obviously, I have to state Gorgamesh. Gorgamesh is such a special place in my heart and really helped develop my understanding of electronic music. So whenever I have a gig there, I take it really seriously and really enjoy it. I would say definitely if I'm in town, I would say Gorgamesh for sure.
Okay, let's rewind the clock here a little bit. What are one or two tracks from the very beginning of your time in this that really influenced you and helped push you in this direction?
I think Sasha's Involver album was super pivotal, because before I heard Sasha, I was hearing a lot of, you know, your classic Tiesto tracks or Armin tracks, which were really good at the time. But I think hearing something like Sasha's Involver really opened my eyes to modular synthesis and intricacies and, you know, things I'd loved in other genres that I hadn't necessarily, you know, I'd been introduced to more of the party music side of electronic music. And when I heard that album from Sasha, it really made me realize there's just so much room for creativity and artistic expression through electronic music and dance music. And, you know, to this day, I meet people and friends that just don't fully understand that. You know, they maybe categorize electronic music as dance music or party music or music you listen to on drugs. And it's really unfortunate, because they're missing an entire breadth of art that is just, that really has spoken to me and helped me on my journey just as a human, let alone as an artist. So I would say Sasha for sure. Any of his early albums, of course, there's just so many influential songs. Probably, you know, the classic Deadmau5, hearing him kind of bridge sort of the party with the art, with strobe and playing with melodies and intricacies there, and how you can bring that to the mainstream and the main stage. It doesn't necessarily need to be underground. All of these pioneers have really helped me inspire me and help me understand kind of who I am as an artist.
Okay, and then what is your vision for yourself in production and in DJing as you continue to go forward in the industry?
I would say it's definitely defining my sound in techno and just getting a body of work that I can play out every night. And that would definitely be the goal, and that's what I'm working towards right now. Just building up a body of work so that when I do play a live show, I can play all of my new music and really focus on my sound going forward, which would definitely be firmly planted in techno and groove, which is really exciting. And I think also keeping in mind that I would like to eventually be able to put on a live show, because that's where I came from, playing instruments on stage and singing on stage. That those are my roots, and I'd love to be able to kind of circle back full circle and do that again if the time's right and if the music allows for it.
Okay, and then final question here. Is there anything musically or gig-wise that you'd like to promote right now?
Well, you kind of already promoted. I've got a track coming out on Friday, which is my track with Dust Sparrow on UV called Luminescent, and that's getting a remix from the mighty Hear Horse, who is a really, really amazing producer. If you haven't checked out Hear Horse, he is just absolutely killing it right now with all kinds of support and amazing production. So I'm really excited to have his spin on Luminescent, and I would just say keep an eye out in 2023. Lots of new music planned. I can't quite say where it's coming out quite yet, but stay tuned. Go grab a copy on Friday and check out Luminescent, the Hear Horse remix.
Okay, this has been Bryn Lytle. A full selection of Bryn Lytle tracks can be found at Beatport, Apple Music, Spotify, Juno Download, and Bandcamp. As well, a full list of Bryn Lytle weblinks can be found at the Techno Progressivo webpage. Remember to check out that Hear Horse remix of his track Luminescence, which came out at the beginning of the month.
got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Bryn Lytle for agreeing to interview for this. The local scene is definitely thriving, some excellent tracks there, and a sound all his own. Full track list and a selection of Bryn Lytle web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Head on over there to learn more about the mind behind the music. If you've enjoyed the show and want to check it out again, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at CITR.ca or at Apple Podcasts to hear this one again, or more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with the show. Follow our socials on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Attic Jams is up next on the station, so stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's Track from the Past. For this one, we're going to hop back 20 years in time to 2002 for some of that great Sasha music Bryn Lytle was talking about. This is Wavy Gravy. Enjoy this. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks.